Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let Larry now for this week's lesson.
Last week, I read a passage of Scripture that I said possibly was my favorite passage in the Bible. I say possibly because I could be talked out of it and convinced of another one very quickly, but I have many, as I'm sure you do as well. But this one is very special. This passage in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, this is why you need to be a Christian. If you are not a Christian, that one passage tells you why you ought to be. I mean, what is there described in that passage that is not so attractive to any person? But you'll notice right in the heart of that passage is this statement, the Lord is near. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, so forth. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. That is the reason that one can rejoice in spite of the circumstances. That is the reason that one can have a peace that is beyond all understanding. The Lord is near. But you look at it and you think, well, now what did Paul mean by that? It sort of is a statement that, as maybe the kids would say now, sort of random. I mean, he was on a roll talking about some things, then all of a sudden, the Lord is near. Right in the middle of it. So what did he mean by it? Did he mean that, like James, for instance, in James chapter 5, verse 8, when James says, you too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Is that what he meant? You better be good because the Lord's coming back and it won't be long. Or did he mean what Peter meant in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, the end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray? Is that what he meant? Was he speaking in some kind of figurative language, such as he was in Romans chapter 13, 12? When he wrote, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Was it just sort of a figurative statement? The Lord is near. I submit to you, Paul meant what he said. And he put it right where he wanted it. Paul didn't say the end is near. He didn't say the coming is near. He didn't say here that the light is near. He said the Lord is near. The Lord is near. He's here. And we can live different lives because he is here. Now you know that's a very different idea than most people who have ever walked the roads of this old planet Earth. As you get to thinking about it throughout history, most people in their belief system, their religious system, had the idea one way or another that God is way off there somewhere. remote, he's distant. He may have created all of this, got it wound up, but then he left. And now it's up to our devices. I see that some in thinking now. As people talk about how human beings control this planet, we can end it or we can keep it going. There's something about the environmental movement that sort of distresses me a little. Not that we shouldn't take care of what God has given us, but it's the idea that it just exalts man maybe a little too much, human beings. I just somewhat feel uncomfortable with it. But that's how most people feel. Maybe many today. God's way off there. And he's left us here all alone to fight it out and to struggle with it. Religions, world religions, have differing attitudes about God, but many of them, if not most of them, Allah is way up there. He's out there. Even some Christians lack any sense of the presence of God. And we betray that in our vocabulary. Where are you going this morning? Well, I think I'll go to church. I think I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to a building. I'm going to walk in. Because God is there. But when I walk out, God is not there. He's not out at Shepherd Air Force Base. He's not at Midwestern. He's not at the courthouse. He's not at the shop. On Sundays, I go to church. And that's where I meet God. And some even more drastically, though they claim to be Christians, the absence of God's presence in their lives is really quite obvious. And their eyes are sort of like a sad orphan child. You can just see it. No sense of the presence of God. A sense, I submit to you, of the presence of God will change everything about our lives. If we come to terms with the presence of God, as Paul said in Philippians, we'll not react like everybody else reacts. Our gentleness will be evident to all. How is it that one can have a demeanor of kindness and gentleness in this old rough-hewn world? How can that be? Well, it's because of the presence of God. How can it be that a person have a personal peace that transcends all human understanding? Again, as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4. In the most difficult, and maybe in his case, the most hideous of circumstances. How can it be? Only one way. There is a sense of the presence of the Lord. During the month of December, the Sundays I will be preaching, I'm going to be speaking on the theme of Emmanuel. Emmanuel. What does that mean? It means God with us. God with us. And whether people realize it or not, that's what all the fuss is about. You know the fuss you see in December. They may not have any idea what they're doing, but that's where it all started. Emmanuel, God with us. the most profound fact of history. God came down. When the time was just right or ripe, God sent His Son. God came down. That's what it's all about. He lives where I live. He gives me power to live a different kind of life. God is near. We're going to be looking at that all during the month of December. You may not have that sense of the presence of God yourself. Or it may come and go. It may come on strong sometimes and wane at other times. I guess there's multiple reasons for that. Even for the most committed Christian, I don't think any of us ever live in a relationship that is taut and strong and vibrant all of the time. For all of us, there are the peaks and valleys of spiritual living. But for people who lack totally a sense of the presence of God, and that's most everybody, and again, it'll be many who claim to be Christians. They've done something that puts them on the list of a Christian, but yet the truth be told, they go ahead and live their lives as anyone would live them. There is no sense of the presence of God. Now, in terms of the reasons why that is the case, I suspect the chief reason is the same reason that we see in the early chapters of Genesis. When Adam and Eve heard God walking in their garden, rather than rushing out to meet Him, they hid because they were ashamed. What were they ashamed of? Sin causes shame. Shame causes us to want to hide from God. Many, if not most, lack a sense of presence, the presence of God in their lives because of sin. And they are ashamed. And so when it comes time to meet Him, and have a conversation with Him, they hide. I guess the thrust of this series of lessons is going to be, stop hiding. Stop hiding and start living with a sense of the presence of God. Emmanuel, God with us. That's the lesson of the season. It really is. The lesson of the season that we're going to be consumed with for the next month. God with us. I wish you'd come, and I wish you'd bring others. They might be more open during this season of the year than at any other time for coming to church. So bring them on, and let's join together in this series of lessons. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father, we don't have words to describe the importance of this great fact that You have revealed to us, that at a certain point in human history, You came down. Oh, we know You've always been a part of life, Father. We see that all the way through the Old Testament. But my, what a change was made on that special day that we remember as the morning of the birth of this little baby, but more significantly, the fact of your coming down and being with us, being the source of power for us as we live our lives. Father, we are so privileged as a people, your people. To be called your people is a privilege. And as you have expressed in Deuteronomy 4, that great Old Testament book, what other people are so great and so privileged that the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? Father, I pray for open hearts. I pray for wisdom myself and your direction as I prepare these lessons to instruct and encourage my brothers and sisters and our friends who may be looking in from the outside. Father, help something to be said that would move them to want to be a part of the blessed experience of having you near, constantly near. Be with this lesson series and be with your people. I pray in a special way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.